2 Samuel. You have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Excuse me. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, there's some Bibles in some of the psalm book racks if you need one or want one or something like that. I always encourage people to see that what we are teaching and reading and preaching is actually coming from the Word of God. Not something else or somebody or anything else like that, but it actually comes from the Word of God. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have a little story that Nathan the prophet comes to tell King David. We've been studying the Psalms in Sunday school. David wrote many and many of those Psalms. Well, King David was a man. He was a human being. And he wasn't perfect. But he always went to God to ask him to forgive him. Sometimes it took a little while, but he got there and got things right between him and God. What has led up to what we're looking at here in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel is a sin in his life. A sin which led to many sins in his life. And he got caught into this sin. He got involved into this sin. And being king as he was, I think maybe sometimes he took advantage of the privileges and situations that he had. We're going to look at this here in 2 Kings chapter 12, and then we'll go back and explain what happened here. Sometimes some of you may be familiar with this story. But in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He was a prophet. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. It grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was to him as a daughter. And there came a certain traveler unto the rich man and spared to take his own flock of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that came unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that had done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I appointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judea. And if that be too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes, give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Verse 12. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Verse 14. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the children also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you open up these Holy Scriptures that you guide and direct and let us see what you want us to learn about sin, about forgiveness, about your love, and let us be stronger for you. And if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that today will be their day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need to catch you up to speed here. If you go over in the previous chapter, chapter 11, David was supposed, there was a time that all the kings went out to war. Well, David didn't go. He stayed home. Mistake number one. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He stayed home. He was in his palace. Everybody else was out to battle. Well, number two, in the evening time, he gets up out of his bed. So he was in bed in the middle of the day, the king. Well, he gets out of his bed, he goes up on top of the palace and starts looking around, and he sees this woman over on her house way over there taking a bath. Well, many times in the Mideast, the roof was like another room. And she was up there away from everybody. There wasn't supposed to be anybody up and around at that time of the day anyway. Well, he sees her. Number one, he's not where he's supposed to be. Number two, he's in the bed in the middle of the day. Number three, he's up wandering around and sees this woman. Number four, he looks again. And he inquired, "Who is that?" He says, "That's Bathsheba. That's Uriah the Hittite. That's his wife. But bring her to me." So they go get him. Go get her. And then she gets pregnant. Well, David's got a problem now. So he calls for Uriah to come from the battle and say, "Hey, how's the battle going?" Well, Uriah gets over there, gives him a report. And he says, "Okay, go back to the house and I'll talk to you tomorrow." Well, Uriah, he doesn't go home. He stays out on the front porch of his house. Because David's trying to cover himself here. "Well, why didn't you go into your house and see your wife?" He says, "Well, I'm not going to do that. Joab, the general, he's living in a tent. All the other people that I work, all the other soldiers are living in a tent. And out there in the wilderness, fighting. I'm not going to go into my bed and my wife while they're out there." He says, "That's not right." So David says, "Well, stay another day." So David gets him drunk and everything else. He still doesn't go home and lay with his wife. So he just sin on top of sin and on top of sin. So he says, "Well, I'll fix this." So he sends Uriah with a note to Joab, the general. And he says, "Put Uriah up in the front of the battle." So Uriah takes a note to the general and he reads it and says, "Okay." So the general puts Uriah up in the front of the battle, up next to the wall. You know, and people from the wall throwing stuff, arrows and all that stuff. And they kill him. He gets killed. And some other soldiers die too. So basically, David sent his own note by him, his own self, to the general to have him killed. Well, that's when Nathan, the prophet, comes to David. And what we read. Now, the story he has is of this man that had a ewe, a little female sheep. And he only had one. And he raised it as his own, as one of his kids. This little sheep, this little ewe, ate in his house, ate from his table, and drank from his cup. Now, some of you might have a little puppy or a cat that you do the same thing with. I don't know. But they may drink out of your cup and eat the same thing you eat and eat off of your plate. And he says it laid in his bosom. It was a lap sheep. was it a lap dog? It was a lap sheep. And it laid upon his bosom and he cuddled it and he loved it. And it was just part of his family. Just like one of his own daughters, it says. Very precious to him. Well, the other rich man, he had flocks. He had lots of sheep. Well, he gets somebody to come visit him. Well, I'm not going to take one of my sheep and feed him. I'll go take this poor man's sheep and I'll feed him. So he goes and takes this poor man's sheep, friend of his house, one that eats at his own table, drinks from his own cup, and kills him and feeds him to his visitor. Well, naturally, David gets mad. David gets upset and all these things. But here in verse 7 of chapter 12, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man." He says, David, you are the one that this story is about. David, you are the one that did this. And what did David say? That man should die. That man should pay back fourfold what had happened. Oh, this is an evil, wicked man. He needs to die. He needs to be punished. He did wrong. And Nathan says, that's you, David. Man, I bet David's face went pale. I bet his face went white. I bet his knees started to knock together a little bit when the Nathan, the prophet of God, says, that's you, David. That's you, David. You did the same thing, David. God has given you all of these concubines. God has given you Israel. God has given you Judea. God has given you the victory. God has made you king. And if you'd have wanted anything, such as such, whatever, I'd have given it to you. But you went and took something that wasn't yours. Wasn't like you didn't have anything. You just didn't like what you had and you wanted something else. You had a whole house full and you didn't like that. Well, I don't like that one. I want this one over here. No pity, no gratitude, no appreciation for all the things that God had done for him. And sin upon sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. And he even has murder on his hands. One of his own people. And he wasn't the only one that died in that battle. Because he didn't send Uriah up there to the front lines by himself. He sent him up there with some others. Other people died. Trying for David to cover up his sin. So you see, sin doesn't care about other people. Sin doesn't care about other people's lives. Sin is destruction. And it's a festering that comes up inside of you and takes you over. And many times we try and justify what we're doing, the way we're living, or what we're saying, or how we're going to do something. We're trying to say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, God, you don't understand, or all this other stuff we try and say. And Nathan tells him a little story, the prophet. You know what's great about David? He says, I've sinned. I've sinned against the Lord. This wasn't like some sin that just came along and blindsided David. And it just took him almost. He just couldn't help himself. He contemplated. He made plans. He knew exactly what he was doing. That should have been the end of it when he found out who she was. But see, he set himself up to sin. David set himself up to fail. He wasn't out there with the battle where he's supposed to be. Later on, in the next couple of chapters, they win. They take over this land. And his general says, come on over here, David. We're about ready to take this city. You need to be here when we take this city so that you receive the credit because you're the king and not me. He calls him to come do that. He should have been there all along. But he's comfortable. He's got a good general. He's got a good army. I'll just stay home in the palace and just take it easy. He was in bed in the middle of the day. In even time, he got up off his bed and started wondering, oh, well, what's going on out there? Yeah. Sees that girl over there. He should have closed his eyes, turned his head, and went back and asked God to forgive him for those thoughts that came in his mind. Hey, the first look might be a mistake. The second look isn't. Well, how many times have you heard guys say at work, well, I just think about it. What's God say? Sin. The same as doing it. That's what God says, isn't it? So many people today are not married to whoever they're with. And they just... too much trouble to take care of it. You got to take care of what you know is sin before you can move on to the next step. But David found out who she was. Found out she was married. That didn't stop David. Didn't stop him. I'm king. Other people knew what was going on. Their people knew what was happening. They saw what happened. And Christian, David is a Christian. David's saved. God's not going to let you get by. God will not let you get by with it. One time, and she got pregnant. One time. One time. God's not going to let you get by with it, Christian. One time. So now I've got this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. Now what am I going to do? He has time to devise a plan. This sin just didn't bang, bang happen. That was it. It was a progression. It was a planning. It was a covering up. This was a sin that he worked on for a long time. And he thought he had it taken care of. He thought it was all fine and dandy. But God saw it. God saw it. And God sent his preacher. Let me tell you a story, David. So he tells him this story. Oh, my guy ought to die. He's mean. He ought to die. That's you, David. Talk about knocking the wind out of your sails. That's what the Word of God does. And David repented. David repented. And because you repented, David, because you asked forgiveness, David, you're not going to die. But... that's not the end of the story. Chapter 12, verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thy house. You're never going to have peace. Because thou hast despised me. David despised God by his sin. Just hit me, God. Just hit me. It's all right. All right. I'm the king. I can do it. David laughed in the face of God and despised him and went ahead and knew what was wrong, knew it was sin, and he did it anyway. To God. You despised me, he said. You killed Uriah the Hittite. You killed him. Verse 11. Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. His son rebelled against him and took the kingdom over from him. His own son died in battle. Absalom, his own son. And his all these kids were messing around with their half-sisters and doing all kinds of terrible things. His kids got in a big mess. You just read some of the things that happened because of this sin. It's a big mess. I will take thy wives. You wanted that one? You're not going to have any. Give them to thy neighbor. Verse 12. What, you did it secretly? I'm going to do everything. Everybody's going to see what I'm doing to you, David. You're going to see what I'm doing to you, David. David says, I've sinned. Verse 14. Gave great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The enemies of the Lord are going to look at this nation of Israel, supposed to be God's chosen nation, and they're going to look what your king did. Look what he did. Look what's happening to his family. Look what's happening to his own son. Look what's happened to his own daughters. Look what happened to his own wives. Look at what's happening to him. And he's your king. All right, look at, well, you can't even watch over your own king, God. Brought blasphemy from God. And then he says, the baby's going to die. The baby's going to die. What'd that baby do? Nothing. 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 Now, later on, hey, that baby didn't go to hell. That baby went to heaven. Age of accountability. David says over in later on in the chapter, he can't come to me, but I'll go to him. David saw that baby again, yes. David prayed and fasted for 7 days. He went without water. He went without food. He laid himself on the ground for 7 days and prayed for that baby. They couldn't get him up. They couldn't feed him. He wouldn't answer him. He wouldn't do anything. The baby dies, just like God said. And they was afraid to tell David. And David heard everybody whispering and going on. So he gets up and says, is the baby dead? And they said, yes. They was afraid to tell him. They didn't know what was going to happen. After 7 days of that, they didn't know how it was going to affect him. What's he do? He gets up. He washes his face. You got to see this yourself in the Bible here. You need to see this yourself. Verse 20. 12:20 in 2 Samuel. Then David rose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came unto the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, and they set bread before him, and he did eat. Listen, he went to the house of God and worshipped God. Not one time did David get mad at God. Not one time did David blame God for this. Not one time did he say, God, why'd you do this? Why did this happen? David knew why it happened. David knew. He had already drifted away from God once. He wasn't going to do it again. He goes, and even he's 7 days. He hasn't ate or anything. He cleans himself up. He makes himself presentable physically before the God when he goes to church. And then he goes home and eats. After he talks to God. After he talks to God. And worshiped God. And they says, well, why? Why? What's all going on here? Why did you do all this and now you're up? He says, well, hey, I didn't know if God might change his mind. Maybe and let the child live. I don't know. Maybe he might let the child live. I don't know. He says, you got to try. Their next son was Solomon. Their next son was Solomon. The next king of Israel. The man that wrote the book God used to write the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. There has never been a man as rich as Solomon. There never has been a man as wise as Solomon. That was their second son. They lost that first son because of sin. But God forgave him and gave him a second son. Oh yes, God forgives. But there were consequences. He had war, his kids against kids, and kids killing kids, and his own son taking his kingdom over, the nation of Israel being blasphemy. I mean, there was all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. You just read the life of David. It was a mess. But you read Psalms 51. That was his repentant heart as he sought God for forgiveness. We just say, I have sinned. You go over and read Psalm 51 and you'll see his prayer that he lifted up before God as he asked God to forgive him for these great things that he had done wrong. Christian, there is no such thing as a secret sin. There is no sin that will only affect you. And very seldom is it just one sin. They lead to many. Many sins, many consequences come home to roost. The best thing is, don't put yourself in a place where you're susceptible to sin as David did. You look at the previous chapter, you'll see the steps that led him up to where the situation he got into. Don't put yourself there. Don't go those places. Don't do those things. Keep yourself, as we studied in Sunday school, your integrity and uprightness. Keep those as a part of your life. How was it that God could use David to write such wonderful psalms? Because he'd been there and done that. And he felt the sin. He felt the consequences. And he felt the love of God in his life. God loves you. And God wants you to get things right. The only way you're going to get them right is to do what you know is right. That's the only way. You get the first things first and then move on to the bigger problems. You can't take care of the big problems if you still got the little problems. You know, it's kind of like pulling weeds, you know. If you don't get the root, it comes back again. You know those old ragweeds you mow off with the lawnmower because you get tired of pulling them? They look pretty nice, huh? Then one day you get energetic and you say, well, I'm going to go get rid of those things. You've been mowing them off for a month or so. You have to get the pickaxe and shovel, man, to get those things up. I mean, their stems is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon you got a stem this big around. Because you've just been mowing it off. Haven't been taking care of the root. Looks nice and green out there, huh? Had some people one time, look at that ground cover out there. That's beautiful ground cover. Look at them little yellow flowers on there. That's beautiful ground cover. Look underneath there. See one of them goat heads under there. Ooh. Hey, many times we try and do that with sin. We just mow it off. Make it look pretty. While it's just festering and getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger and stronger under there.
Got to pull it out by the roots. It hurts. Yeah. Got to pull it out by the roots. Well, I got this problem. I got that problem. Well, do you want to fix it or not? It hurts too much. Well, nothing's what's going to happen. Don't expect it to get any better without doing something. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to do great things in your life. Jesus has great plans for each and every one of you. Will you let Him do it? Will you let Him do some weeding in your life? Talks about in John 15 as He prunes. Will you let Him? Just as Nathan says, that's you, David. God looks in your heart and says, that's you. God says, that's you. What are you going to do about it? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation and prayer. I don't know what God's laying on each one of you as an individual. I don't know what God's talking to you about. I haven't been reading anybody's mail, so if God's laid something on you, then you take it up with God. If God's burdened you without something, you take it up with God. If God's convicted you about something, then you take it up with God and ask God to help you do it. Do you know you're saved? Has there been a time in your life that you went to Jesus and you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Dear Jesus, we just ask as you take this time, God, that you'll take these words, that you'll take the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will touch hearts, convict them, and share, and turn around, and change, and help your people be strong for you. We ask this in Jesus' name.